so we want to build an alliance. Inspire with an idea and build a working alliance. After that, we establish a strategy. And it's always helpful, once we have an alliance and an idea, to engage the child, particularly as they get older. How do you think I could help you in building this new habit? So, how can I help you cultivate humility and overcome this arrogance? Any ideas what I could do? Again, it doesn't matter near so much what the child says as the fact that you're building an alliance, reinforcing the notion that there is a different and a better way to do things. So you come up with something. If they come up with a good idea, and interestingly, often children, our students, come up with the better support strategies than we could come up with. They come up with a good strategy, you say, yeah, great, let's try that. I would be happy to work with you on humility in this way. Let's say he says something like, well, you could remind me every day. I say, great, I'd be happy to do that. Walks in the next day, first thing I say is, Johnny, what are we working on today? He says, humility. I said, great, Johnny, I'm with you. Goes out for lunch. Hey, Johnny, how'd it go this morning? He knows what I'm talking about. Oh, I think it went real well. I can't think of any time I was arrogant. Great, I'm with you. Or he says, oh, not so much. I really tried to show off in math class. All right, man, that happens. Remind me, what's wrong with that? How does that hurt your relationships? Great, man, I'm with you. Let's get it next time. So I'm informing ignorance and I'm supporting in weakness. That's what we do. Or I'm teaching math class. And 10 times in 20 minutes, Johnny shouts out over a classmate with the right answer. Someone says the wrong answer and Johnny rolls his eyes. Of course, everybody else in the class sees Johnny rolling his eyes. Does wonders for his relationships. And I say, Johnny. So we breaking. And I walk over and say, Johnny, I want you to think about whether you were arrogant or humble in this last class. Just as we're kind of getting ready for science, would you spend a couple of minutes thinking about that? Because I think you can do better next time. I think you can do better in science class. I'm with him. I'm for him. I'm his friendly ally. I'm not trying to control. Discipline is not an exercise in control. It's an exercise in formation, in cultivation, in growth, in helping children grow up. When we use it as an instrument of control, we lose and the children lose. But when we hang in there with them, when we stay their friendly ally, and when we remain the troubadour of a virtuous life, when we support them in their weakness, when we stay day in, day out on the strategy, when we act with what Charlotte Mason calls tact, watchfulness, and persistence, then we find in the child those rails of habit laid down, which will lead them to easily and smoothly have the kind of relationships with God, self, others, work, the whole created universe that we long for our children to have. This habit formation is so important that we think it should be one of the chief objects of prayer. One of the challenges we give our teachers is that they prayerfully identify two areas of growth for each child. In that first month when they come to school, identify for each student two areas where you'd like to see growth. That if 9 months from now, when the child leaves your class, they would be different. Their natures would have been changed in the sense that they would have new habits. at least in two areas. So for one child, they come and are careless and forgetful. 9 months later, they're on task and alert. Another child lacks humility, is arrogant, puts himself in front of others. 9 months later, a great increase in humility. A third child tends to shut down in the face of any kind of adversity. 9 months later, they can face a challenge, stay on task, and keep working through it. One child has a basic hostility to math. I don't like it. It doesn't interest me. 9 months later, they have a new relationship with math. A child is unaware of the needs of his classmates, completely insensitive. 9 months later, he has eyes to see and ears to hear the needs of his classmates. That's the kind of change we want to see. All of those are areas of habit. And a wonderful thing is if a teacher at the beginning of a year, or a parent for that matter, identify two areas of habit, 9 months later, we want to see significant growth. Begin praying every day. Wonderful things happen when you pray. One, I believe in the power of prayer. Two, if I'm praying for something every day, what I invariably start to say is, Lord, let me be part of the process of this prayer being answered. I start to think about it. I become aware of it. I become passionate about my students' growth. We encourage all of our parents to do the same thing. Parents should be passionate not about behavior, but about growth. Because you can behave in the right way for all the wrong reasons. And we've seen way too many, quote, model children who, after they go off to college, completely spin off in another direction. Well, what happened? They were behaving, not growing. So we want a growth focus. Growth means the formation of new habits. It means new habits formed out of the right kind of heart, the right kind of intrinsic motivations, which have to be cultivated relationally. So we become that friendly ally that always is behind the child, always with the child, always in prayer for the child, always casting a vision and seeing a vision of what it could be.